Today I was reading an article that I want to share with you before we begin. If you will take your Bible out there in the pew and turn to page 946, I'm going to begin in verse about 21-22 there where I left off on Sunday evening. Now this next Sunday evening will be a False Creek service, so we won't be doing Daniel on Sunday night. It will continue again on next Wednesday night, but next Sunday evening the kids will be back from False Creek and we'll have our regular yearly False Creek service. But this came from understanding the times. Jen Markell, she has a lot of biblical prophetic people on her radio program, and I get their newsletter, read up on all of it, listen to a lot of their speakers that are out there. I think it's really interesting because I was also reading one of John Hagee's books today on end time events, and the book of Daniel and David Jeremiah's book on the handwriting on the wall, and many, many other books, Dr. Walbord's studies in the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, as well as Ron Rhodes, and I've got tons of them, Jerry Vines and Tim LaHaye's, and so many of them, Amir Sarfati, and some of these names some of you will recognize. But in this article, I think it was very interesting. I think it was noteworthy, so I sat at my computer and typed this off of my cell phone. So I do want you to hear. It's called Tracking the Trend Toward the Tribulation. This was written on July the 13th, a few days back. I've been watching the convergence of the so-called signs of the times since someone handed me Hal Lindsey's late Great Planet Earth many years ago. The book got my attention. Since then, I'm fascinated with how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. The apocalypse is in the air. But in the last few years, things are happening so quickly that observers of the times cannot keep up. It's as though the four horsemen of the apocalypse are now out of the barn. Those four horses you will remember in the book of Revelation, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, that speaks all about war and famine and pestilence and disease and death. And all of those things. So that's what this is referring to there about the four horsemen of the apocalypse are now out of the barn, or so it seems, but they can't make their global appearance until the church is called home in the rapture. The Bible is clear that we will be with Jesus in heaven before these riders begin their deadly trek across planet Earth. Here's a very short list of things I'm noting in this year of 2022 to date, indicating that time is winding down and we will be whisked away very soon. We already see the formation of this coming new world order through the United Nations and the World Economic Forum. Without firing a shot, they've gained the allegiance of most world leaders for their Marxist plans to enslave the people of the world. The globalists believe they have the means to reshape the world according to their agenda via the influence they've gained over the global leaders of our day. A one-world government will be birthed once the church vacates. The players are in place. Three words in the Bible jumped out at me recently: without natural affection, 2 Timothy 3:3. That happens to a final generation. But who could have imagined today's society celebrating the trans movement, homosexual marriage, and the slaughtering of the unborn? All of these operate without natural affection. And these issues are a leftist obsession. They love every imaginable aberration. Those standing for biblical values, such as pro-life groups, are under literal violent attack. That same passage talking about perilous times. Sure, we've had perilous times since World War I. The carnage of World War II was unthinkable, but now Russia's lunatic leader is threatening the world with nukes. Let me spend an extra moment on economic issues, inflation, and famine, all prophesied to occur during Daniel's 70th week of the tribulation, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Are we not seeing the stage setting for that now? As the food apocalypse approaches, the poorest peoples will suffer as they always do. but it's feared that the pain will rapidly move up the global food chain. With that comes a surge in political turbulence, humanitarian crisis, and global instability. Add to this the shortage of fertilizer, and the word apocalypse is indeed appropriate and not overused here. United States farmer sentiment plummeted. More than 60% of farmers predict farm input prices to be at least 30% higher this year as compared to 2021. European farmers are demonstrating and even rioting over policies forced on them that could lead to global famine. They see the actions of the globalists for what it is, an effort to destroy the world's food supply. Throw in the mysterious destruction of multiple food processing plants and the deaths of poultry and livestock, too numerous to tally. Also in June, the soaring stock market took a nosedive, and Fed Chairman Jerome Powell admitted they're looking at replacing cash with digital currency that will keep track of everything you purchase. Surely the black horse is ready to ride. To be blunt, economies around the world are on the verge of collapse. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon's warning about a coming economic hurricane. He states, "You better brace yourself." How can I not reference the raging apostasy, the wolves among the flock, and the doctrine of demons all thriving in many of our churches today? This sad state of church affairs may be one of the most significant signs of the times out there, and most churches will not touch certain topics essential to helping people understand the times. A recent study reveals that just 37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. Did y'all get that? A recent study reveals that 37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. That means more than two-thirds do not. We're watching Israel sound the war drums, even in the midst of her collapsed government. In the face of Iran's continued development of nuclear capability, she's almost there. The Israeli Air Force has developed a new capability to fly its F-35 jets from Israel to Iran without requiring mid-air refueling. I provided just a few short bullet points that I've kept my eye on here in 2022 that tell me the king is coming any day. I could just list dozens more. We're trending towards the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And while believers can rejoice at our destination, remember that contained in the above situations are much suffering and perplexity globally. And human beings cannot solve these problems. That's why the word perplexity is seen in Luke 21:25. In the meantime, we're on a rescue mission to save the lost. The King of Kings must return to establish his earthly kingdom on earth and clean up chaos, confusion, and consternation brought about by the Antichrist and his minions. The stage is being set now. The curtain for the last act could rise any day. Now, I want you to hear this sentence. No previous generation has seen this stunning convergence, allowing everything to fall into place. Someone shared with me the other day that they had visited a church. I won't name the church, I won't name the minister, but it was talking about end time events, and he said, "Oh, well, things have been the way they've always been." Well, if you keep up with what I've been keeping up with, yes, they've been the way they've always been, except they've increased in greater intensity, and lawlessness is abounding everywhere. So, as the song says, Steve, you ought to sing that one of these days, the signs of the time are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. I want you to know, the more that I read and study, the more I see something I didn't see before when I study. That's why I love the Bible. The Bible is not a book I don't think that any of us will ever master in this lifetime. The more you and I read it, the more we see it, the more we see other things that are in it that we never saw before, and the Holy Spirit moves us and points us in that direction. I ordered a new book today that I want to share some of the things out of it dealing with end time events when I get that. But it's trends that are happening right now. If you're not keeping up with the news, and I realize there are some days I don't want to listen to it either. I get bored with it, tired of it, listen to all kinds of media situations, never knowing who's telling the truth, who the fact checkers are checking the facts, and all of those sort of things. But I do know this, I'm confident of one thing. I'm confident that the Bible is the Word of God, and that all of the prophecies that have been fulfilled 100%, and the rest of them will be fulfilled exactly as the Scripture has pointed out, unbeknownst to a world who is blinded, who is deluded by Satan and his tactics. I was driving down the road today. I was listening to a very famous person do a radio interview, and in that interview, someone called in and said, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe there's an afterlife? And et cetera, et cetera. And it's somebody I listen to quite often going down the road to and from hospitals and funerals and various visits that I make. But I was really surprised that the comment that the interviewer gave to the interviewee on the phone was this. She said, I'm more of a fact person. I've got a lot of religious friends that believe in heaven. But she said, I don't say there is a heaven. I don't say there is. I don't say there isn't. And I thought to myself, I immediately began to pray for that individual. Because I thought, well, then what have you got to live for? What have you got to look forward to if you don't have any peace whatsoever? And she spoke about people that have faith versus those that have facts. And folks, I want you to know, if you believe what Scripture says, you're going to have to take it by faith in Christ alone, in God alone, in the Holy Spirit alone. Because the Holy Spirit breathed these incredible words. In fact, 200 years before Jesus Christ ever was born, Daniel was given this prophecy about the times of the Gentiles that would be ruling until the end of time. The reason these are recorded in Scripture is because these world kingdoms affected the nation of Israel in some fashion. And so one of the major things, I've probably enjoyed the book of Daniel more this time than I've ever enjoyed it in all of my studies of it down through the years, because it's much more clear. It's much more easy for me to understand based upon what I'm seeing take place in the world today. So pick up with me, if you will, on page 946. I don't want to begin chapter 8 tonight because it's an incredible chapter. And it will deal once again with two of these major empires. So verse 21, page 946 says, as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Now he's speaking about the Antichrist, the one world leader, the one world dictator. That's the horn there that he's speaking about in verse 21. And notice he said, with the saints and prevailed over them. It's really interesting whenever you listen to the news today and they're talking about the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and the Club of Rome, and all of these various things that are dealing with the end of times and the one world government and the one world order and the one world religion. Folks, let me tell you, the world out there is asleep at the wheel. If two-thirds of the Christian pastors in America, if two-thirds of the Christian pastors, I don't even know how you use that phrase, if they don't have a biblical worldview. I'm sitting here wondering, no wonder people will be deluded No wonder people will not be warned about what's coming one of these days. The Bible says that in the last days, people will be saying, where is the sign of his coming since the fathers fell asleep? And so I can see very vividly tonight everything in these verses that Daniel has pointed us to. Not to mention the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war that's going to happen one of these days with Russia and the Islamic nations coming against the nation of Israel. Some have asked, will it be before the tribulation? Will it be right after the church is gone? I'm not clear on that yet. I just know that it's going to happen one way or the other, either right before or right after, but it will take place. Notice, if you will, on verse 22. Until, notice, as I look, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Until the Ancient of Days, that's a phrase for God, meaning everlasting one, came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High, and the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, if you can only imagine, Daniel is getting these visions from Almighty God through the Holy Spirit to pin down about what is going to happen from the time of the Babylonian kingdom all the way until the end of time. And right there in those two verses, you see lots of things that are going on there. And one of them is the Antichrist, and the other is when Jesus Christ comes one of these days to judge this earth. And so a lot is happening right there, moving through verse 21 and 22. Then he says in verse 23, thus he said, as for the fourth beast, now remember, these beasts, God has given to Daniel the same kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, but that was the head of gold, Babylon. And then you'll remember the breast and the arms were of silver. That would be the Mede-Persian Empire under King Darius and King Cyrus. And then Cyrus's son, Cambyses II, they would create an incredible kingdom. And then the Mede-Persians would be overrun by Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire, the belly and the thighs of bronze. And then the two legs would represent the Roman Empire, which never really totally dissolved. And so when you saw the 10 toes represented on that colossus that we looked at, that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, Nebuchadnezzar was seeing it from the kingdom's point of view. God is showing Daniel the same kingdoms, but he's using beast instead of those things. He's using the same thing of those kingdoms, but he's using beasts because of the cruel behavior of these various Gentile kingdoms that were going to rule throughout that part of ancient history. Now in verse 23, thus he said, as for the fourth beast, he is referring to this last empire that is going to rise one of these days. The Holy Roman Revived Empire is going to be in play. It will be ruled over with these 10 toes, or these 10 crowns, or these 10 kings, these 10 rulers that the Antichrist will eventually assimilate all of them under his leadership. So this fourth beast is referring to this final world empire that's going to be. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be, notice, different from all the kingdoms. Why is it going to be different? Because it's going to be run by a world dictator, a world authoritarian. if you could take all of the leaders of empires throughout the ages, combine them all together with all of their cruelty, with all of their vile, wicked ways, and put them into one, the Antichrist will be Satan incarnate, in the sense that Satan will fill him with all sorts of things. He'll first of all be peaceable. He will be have a magnetic personality. He will be absolutely, people will fall at his feet. He will be handsome. He will be attractive. He will be an intellect. He will be somebody that will sway the masses of the people with the magnetism of his charisma. And you can understand why people will fall down and bow down to worship him and take the mark of the beast in the right hand or in the forehead. I heard just today there are some stores already where you can go in and facial recognition will charge immediately to your charge card or your hand. And so all of these are foreshadowings of what is coming in the days to come. Now, this fourth kingdom is going to be different from all the kingdoms. And notice in verse 23, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. Let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you better get to know him. You better tie a knot and hang on to him, because you don't want to be left behind one of these days. Notice in verse 24, as for the ten horns, remember, horns represent power, horns represent authority, and the ten there is speaking about those ten toes that Nebuchadnezzar saw on that figure, and that's the ten kings that will someday be a part of the Roman Empire revived, and those ten kings will be over the provinces of the world. The Antichrist will some way suck into three of those and overtake them, and then he'll eventually assimilate the other seven kings under his leadership. So, as the ten horns, as for the ten horns, out of, notice, this kingdom, this holy revived Roman Empire, ten kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones and shall put down three kings. That's referring to the Antichrist, the one world dictator. The one that is going to lead the world. The one that is going to come on the scene and have all the answers to all of the problems right now that we're facing. Let me tell you, if tonight Jesus should step out into the clouds and call his church out of the world, can you only imagine how the world would be wreaked into havoc tomorrow, trying to figure out what happened? Where'd all these people go? What's going on? How are we going to figure this thing out? And then one arises that has all of the answers to all of life's problems. And so, notice in verse 25, speaking of this Antichrist, this one world dictator, this one world authoritarian, he shall speak words against the Most High. Notice, he will blaspheme the name of God. He'll speak against the Most High. And notice, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Now, I want to stop right there. There's a lot in that I want to speak about. He says that this one world leader, he's going to wear out the saints. And you're probably going, well, Pastor, I thought the saints were going to be out of here. Well, we are, but during the days of the tribulation, there are going to be people that are saved. If they refuse the mark of the beast, they will not be able to buy, they will not be able to sell, Many of them will die from starvation. Many of them will be martyred for their faith. And the Antichrist will wear down the saints. If you'll remember, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation there are going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are going to be evangelizing during the days of the tribulation. Where'd you get that? Over in the book of Revelation. Go read it. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when I was going to school in arithmetic and multiplication, 12 times 12 is 144. So 12,000 times 12,000 is 144,000. And those are going to be Jews that God is going to set apart with his mark, where they will be protected and they're going to be evangelizing people during that period of time. God is also going to raise up two witnesses. Some think it'll be Moses and Elijah. Some think it'll be Moses and Elijah. Some think it'll be Enoch and Elijah. Others say, well, whoever it is, it's going to be two like those, because they represented the law and the prophets. And so God is going to be using 144,000 plus his two witnesses. And so people will be saved. Now, will people have a second chance? There are scholars that believe they will. I personally think if they had an opportunity in this lifetime, I personally believe, based upon the passage in 2 Thessalonians 2, I think that they are going to be given a spirit of delusion, and they are going to believe a lie rather than the truth. That's what I believe about that. There are others who think they'll have a second chance. I don't see that based upon at least 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, now we're down to about verse what? Okay, I want to look at verse 25. It says, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and shall think to change the times and the laws. Let me tell you, this one world dictator, he's going to want to change the law of the land. He wants to change the times. You know, there was a point in time back in ancient history that one of the leaders wanted to change from a 7-day-a-week to a 10-day-a-week. There are some workplaces now that go to 4 days a week. And then you have 3 days off. But this one world leader, this one world dictator, he's going to do everything that he can against anything that God ordained from the beginning of time. Notice, and they shall be given into his hand. Now get this, you've got to understand this really good right here. For a time, that's one. Times means two, so you've got two plus one. That's how many? Three. Y'all go to school? Y'all have arithmetic? I know we've got new math, but it's still three. And then notice the next phrase, and half a time. If time is one, what's half of time? One half. So you've got time, 1 year, times 2 more years, that equals 3 years, and then you divide time to a half, that's 3 1/2 years. That's speaking about the first 3 1/2 years of the 7-year tribulation. So time, one, times two, and that gives us 3 1/2 of time. Half of one is a half, 3 1/2 years. Okay, you're going to need to know that later. Notice verse 26. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away. Now, you see all of the things that are happening in those verses? We're talking about the rise of a one-world dictator. We're talking about things that are going to happen during that time, and now we're talking back with the court where the Ancient of Days is going to judge this world. And he says, but the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, speaking of the Antichrist. to be consumed and destroyed to the end. Lots of things going on there. How many of you, if you just picked up the book of Daniel and began to read, would understand this if you had never had any amplification on what it means? Would you understand it? This is no, this is yes. Are y'all out there tonight? Is it a figment of my imagination that I'm seeing some bodies out there? All right. Notice in verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms, plural, under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. This is the kingdom that you and I are praying for in the model prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. Thy kingdom come. This is the kingdom that's going to be an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now notice in verse 28, here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed. But I kept the matter in my heart. Let me tell you, if you'd been Daniel and God had given you this vision, and you saw what was going to happen in the end of time, and the human carnage, and the human deterioration of society, and to see the millions that will be dying in the world of starvation. And when those four horsemen of the apocalypse ride out onto the scene, what they represent is the white horse, when he rides out, represents the Antichrist. That first white horse, realize Jesus is going to come back to earth according to the book of Revelation on a white horse. So what does the Antichrist do? He has to try to do everything that God would represent or do. So when the four horsemen, which begins the judgments in the book of Revelation, when the white horse comes out, it is a picture of the one world dictator, the Antichrist, that will come on the world scene. He will come in peaceably. You will notice that in the book of Revelation. And then there's going to be a red horseman. He will represent the war that is going to be happening, the wars against the nations rising and turning against each other. And then there's going to be a black horseman that represents famine. He's going to represent poverty around the world, the food shortages you talk about. We think that the grocery stores are out of a lot of things right now. Folks, let me tell you, it's just a picture of things to come. People will starve to death. I read today where the world is approaching 8 billion people. The earth cannot sustain the peoples of the world because there's not enough there's not enough food that can be produced for the world hunger even tonight. And so when you read about the horsemen in the book of Revelation that Daniel is giving us a foreshadowing of, then you can understand already. Pestilences, think about all the diseases, the coronavirus. Where did it come from? Well, we know where it originated, but we know it came from a beast. Think about monkeypox now that's in the news everywhere. Think about all of these pestilences, diseases that are going to be immune to any kind of antibiotic out there. If you can only imagine what the world is going to be like. You talk about rocking, reeling, tottering, teetering, the upheaval of the economic system, the upheaval of the food shortage around the world, the upheaval of the financial system, and it will be a cashless society. That way they will be able to control every single penny you spend. They will know everything there is to know about you digitally speaking. And it's all headed in that direction. And not only that, think about it, a cashless society, what's it going to do to the drug cartels? How are they going to exist? You see, everything is going to be controlled by the one world dictator and his minions. Daniel was sickened when he got this. Notice it says, my thoughts greatly alarm me. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. Whenever you and I know there are people out there in the world that are lost, it ought to alarm us. It ought to alarm us. If it doesn't alarm us, shame on us. If it doesn't alarm us, either number one, we're not saved, or number two, our heart is not where it ought to be. Amen, church? Let me tell you, we sing rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Let me tell you, it sounds to me like one of these days it's going to be closing time. And let me ask you a question. Have you done your best for Jesus? Have I done my best for Jesus? Daniel said, my thoughts. As for me, notice what he said. Here's the end of the matter. Daniel says, after I've looked at all of this and seen all of this and been given all of this vision, as for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarm me and my color changed. You ever seen anybody's color change? You ever seen color change? I can only imagine when somebody's lost a great amount of blood, have you ever noticed how ashen they look? Have you ever noticed how ashen a corpse looks? Notice Daniel said, my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, why did Daniel say I kept the matter in my heart? Because Daniel was looking down the corridors of time, of future events. These things that he's just spoken about to you and to me are things that wasn't going to happen in his day. But God blessed Daniel by giving him a vision of future days to come. Let me tell you, no other generation from the silent generation, World War I, to the present generation, Generation Z, I believe it is. From those generations, no generation in our lifetime has ever seen what this present generation is seeing. Technology was never a part of most of our generation. And technology today, there will be the technology to do anything and everything that would be even conceivable or imaginable. I saw today where the James Webb new telescope, the scientists have viewed it into the heavens, and they've already seen as much as 200 billion trillion galaxies. Can you only imagine? When somebody says, no, I'm not counting on heaven. I don't know if there's a heaven. I don't know if there is. I don't know if there's not. Well, folks, let me tell you, if there's not a great supreme being that created at least 200 billion trillion galaxies out there, I can't even fathom. Can you? And one of these days, as Jack Van Impe used to say, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you and I will go up through the first heaven, the second heaven, and into the third heaven, 187 trillion, trillion billion miles into the place where God is. It's either trillion billion or billion trillion. I get confused on all that because there's so many zeros in it. But can you only imagine? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, General Electric or Westinghouse, one of those, calculated the twinkling of an eye. I believe it was Western Electric. Anyway, one of them. 11/100ths of a second. 11/100ths of a second. Zip, you're there. If you're lying in your bed at night and all of a sudden the Lord calls you home, zip, you're there. You're there before you could even begin to blink your eye. You couldn't even begin to blink it in 11/100ths of a second. Someone said to me the other day, can I call you and talk to you about heaven? I have some questions. My loved one just died. Can you share with me what you believe? Absolutely call. And when Daniel saw this 200 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, no wonder he was alarmed. No wonder he sealed the matter up until the time of the end, because it wasn't going to happen then. It's going to happen in the future. But the present generation has seen more in its short lifetime than you and I will have ever experienced with all of the technological advances that are out there. When you think about a telescope, the James Webb has replaced the Hubble in the sense of its magnification ability. And when there are that many, 200 billion, trillion other galaxies, at least that they know of, can you only imagine the God of heaven and earth? And what the Bible says is going to happen one of these days. Can't wait until a week from tonight when we begin chapter 8, because I want you to know it's a real doozy. It's a great chapter. And I hope that as you're coming on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, I'm only sorry that the rest of the church doesn't get in on this, because it is something they need to understand, because we are living in perilous times, not to mention the greater part of the perilous times that are coming again one of these days. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your wonderful attentiveness. Would you stand as we pray together? Ken, would you come and just play through something for us? If you need to come and join the church or give your heart and life to Jesus, I'm going to give an invitation tonight. Would you just do that as we pray together? Father, thank you for our study together. Forgive us, oh God, where we sometimes waver when we read all of this and see all of this and begin to comprehend all of this and understand all of this. I pray, oh God, that you would help us, that we too, like Daniel, would be alarmed about all of these things. Father, if there's someone here tonight that needs to come for whatever reason, speak to their heart, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.